tonight we are in the company of the 10th incarnation of the Doctor. We're in the company of David Tennant. Evening, Doctor.
Good evening, how you doing?
Yeah, good. How should we begin?
Let's play the Wombats Backfired at the Disco.
Let's do it. In the company of David Tennant, all night.
It's 8 o'clock and I'm feeling fine. I'm out on a date tonight in a candlelit restaurant down by the riverside. Everything's going all right, I guess. She took down my number.
The Disco. Why did you pick that track, David Tennant?
I'm just loving it at the moment. I just can't. It's my favourite album just now, and it's. I just think it's a great track. I think they're a great band.
Now, I came in today, and there were six cameramen. There was a group of about 10 autograph hunters who got word that you were coming in. I have to parallel this with the last time I ever sat down with you, and the first time in which you did resemble Wurzel Gummidge and were running around Glastonbury.
Oh, yeah.
Fairly unknown.
Yeah. Well, I think it had just been announced that I was taking over in Doctor Who then, so I was just about getting away with it, yeah.
It's a massive contrast. It's a massive, must be a massive change of life, because you go from being an actor, and a very respected actor, I know you're a big fan of Shakespeare, and then you become... this one of the best known faces in British TV overnight, if not the. Have you been with that? Because you are generally a very friendly person, and that must work against you at times in terms of you seem to have time for everyone.
It's funny. It is an adjustment, I suppose, and it takes a while to get used to it, and it takes a while to know how you want to play it, if that makes sense, because nobody really teaches you how to be recognised. So you just have to kind of learn it as you go, and you do choose to do certain things slightly differently, but you try not to let it impact on your life.
Christopher Eccleston got the ninth Doctor, and you went for that, didn't you? So did you think it was lost to you then? Do you think that was it?
I didn't go for it. I mean, I was aware that it was happening, and I would have loved to be asked. I was working with Russell T Davies at the same time that he was doing the first series of Doctor Who, because I was doing a show called Casanova, which he'd written. I kept dropping... well, not even hints. I just kept telling him that I wanted to be in it.
Coming into work in a big, long, like, jacket.
Yeah. And he sort of didn't really bite. And I thought, oh, great. I just wanted to be in one episode.
Yeah.
But then, of course, it all... things transpire slightly differently.
We'll get to why it's so important for you being Doctor Who and, being a lifelong fan of it, and quite a geeky one at that. But take me back to that day as a fan, that first day, that I would imagine is the regeneration scene. Well, you never know how they shoot these things, but I'm imagining that was the first scene that you shot.
It was the first scene that I shot, but it wasn't done with anyone else there, really.
Yeah.
It was done months after Chris and Billy had filmed their end of that scene. So it was just me and a very skeleton crew on the TARDIS set, and it took about 25 minutes.
Wow. How did it feel? How did you feel walking in? You must have felt like a little boy.
I did, yeah. Well, just walking in on that TARDIS set, if you've been down to studios in Cardiff, that TARDIS set is imposing and quite thrilling just to see. Yeah. Because it was so quick, and because there was nobody else there, there were no other actors there.
Yeah.
And then because, it was over so quickly that I kind of thought, is that it? Should I have done more? That felt like quite significant. Was that enough? Did I do it well enough or interestingly enough? And then, of course, there was a hiatus of, I can't remember, 3 months or something before I started shooting any actual scenes. So
people talking to you about being a doctor, you didn't feel like the doctor.
It was endless. From the moment it was announced that I was doing it, of course, everyone's asking you questions about it and wanting to know how you're going to do it and what it's going to be like. And the anticipation and the anxiety was huge. Getting there on the first day was a bit of a relief then, really.
And the first line, now, where was I? Barcelona. Should we play that clip? We've got, it's a very quaint first line.
Yeah, sure, go for it.
Here it is.
Hello. Okay. New teeth. That's weird. So where was I? Oh, that's right. Barcelona.
I think it's a good line. I think it's a good first line. I think it sums up what you bring to the character. For me, I mean, Cary Grant and Biggles and Jack Nicholson, in that you do the character with a great amount of smoothness and charm, but you're also very swashbuckling. But there's a craziness in your eyes, and Nicholson,
Cary Grant,
crazy.
Biggles and Jack Nicholson.
That's what I've went for.
I'm absolutely loving that.
I had to think about it long and hard. To do it justice.
Biggles is a curious cultural reference.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
I'm quite surprised that you came out with Biggles, but I like it.
In the same way, like, you know, Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm is a caricature of his real character. There's a lot of you in that, isn't
I think it's one of those parts that it's kind of a blank canvas, isn't it? You kind of can do whatever you like with it, really, as long as he's got that kind of moral righteousness and he's got that sort of certainty and brilliance, and a certain energy and a certain anarchy, I think. But other than that, you've kind of got to bring yourself to it, because I think that's what makes it live, isn't it?
But it does. But what you achieve with it, it can become very geeky. It was taken off air, and maybe it was very seen. The one, but you know, it became almost trekky. Are you always aware of that when you're making it? That it needs to appeal to real fans, and it also needs to appeal to maybe people who just want to be entertained a Saturday night.
I think we all are. I mean, Russell T. Davis, who's the head writer and the boss of the whole project, really. I mean, he's the same. He grew up as a proper fan.
Yeah.
As I did, but you've got to be aware that you're not making it for the 100,000 people who might be on a fan forum somewhere. Yeah. Although we're making it for them too,
and it's
great that they enjoy it. But no, you want it to be a big popular show. You want it to be 7 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Now, just before we take a track, you were voted in 2006 Doctor Who magazine the best Doctor ever. Your favourite's Tom Baker, I'd imagine, growing up. It's gonna be
Tom Baker, and then Peter Davison. The two of them were my two. Yeah, but Tom Baker was the first one.
So when you're voted, when you read that and go, they think I'm better than Tom Baker, you must have a little bit, you almost want to vote yourself for Tom Baker, because he's always going to be your favourite.
Aren't polls odd? I mean, things like that. It's to do with the moment that they're cast in as well. Yeah. I mean, I'm not delighted to be at the top of any poll ever.
There's a quote to take on its own. Bizarre.
It's bizarre. It's a slightly out of body experience. Things like that.
I love it. Right. Let's talk a bit about music and pick a track here. Where are we going? We mentioned the Proclaimers. Why don't we do it now? Yeah. We share this thing that, you know, quite frustrated that people think it's 500 miles and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the fact that 500 miles was a big hit again recently has maybe helped to sort of get them back in the public consciousness a bit more. I know they were touring recently, and one of the great perks of being on the telly a bit is you get to hang out backstage now and again.
With the Proclaimers.
Is she with the Proclaimers?
See,
I know. How ridiculous.
I've had stories in this about people meeting Quentin Tarantino. Yeah, being famous is great. I got to meet Bono with you. It's more just, I met Charlie and Craig.
I'm on first name terms with Charlie and Craig. The screensaver on my mobile phone is me with the Proclaimers.
I love that.
We should let people hear, because if you are a bit more of a casual Proclaimers listener, as most of your audience might be, I think we should play something maybe they won't have heard before.
Okay.
One of my favourites is Blood on Your Hands.
I go Blood on Your Hands.
Come on, let's play Blood on Your Hands.
Let's go Blood on Your Hands. We are in the company of David Tennant. What a special night. And he's picking music as we go along. Blood on Your Hands by the Proclaimers.
Come on!
Time to get educated. That was a good moment.
It's such a good track.
Let's talk about the new series. Just what are the big moments? What are you looking forward to? Because we've already seen in the second episode the jaw-dropping scene, the Pompeii scene. Yeah, that's definitely got to be one of the moments of the series. What else should we look for visually?
Visually? Ooh, jings. Well, I haven't seen a lot of that yet.
Yeah.
Because, of course, so much of that is done after the event.
That's great.
Yeah. Which makes it genuinely exciting when a DVD arrives in the post. But also, even in the first episode, the March of the Adipose was an incredible. But I mean, in terms of the computer graphics and the art, all the work that all the various art departments do, I think they just get better and more ambitious and extraordinary every year. And it's a real privilege to be in the middle of that.
Yeah.
All these people who are so talented and so brilliant. And there is something about the fact that it's Doctor Who, that everyone who works on it just has an extra bit of love. You know, it's not just like working on a TV programme, which is so you get. You get people working that little bit later into the night, and you know, we all do it.
It's a passion.
It is, yeah.
I love that.
I mean, we have got a fantastic crew. I don't know, the fact that it's made out of London as well, it means that we've got this little world in Cardiff, and this studio complex just outside Cardiff, where Torchwood is also made, and the Sarah Jane Adventures, the children's show, is also made, and Doctor Who Confidential is made. So, and it feels like a real little community there.
Did you move down that way?
Well, I mean, we film 5-6 days a week, so
For how long for a series? 9 months?
About 9 months, yeah.
That's full time. There's certain roles you take on, and that's it. Were you aware of that not only would it take up half of your year, but it would also, to a certain extent, not typecast you, and I don't think it has. I think you've done very well not to be typecasted, but
time will tell.
You know, you will be always, you know, the Doctor's going to be mentioned in the first paragraph of everything written about you from now on.
I suppose it probably will. Of course I was aware of that. I mean, I knew what I was taking on, and having been a fan of the show, I knew the kind of attention that it attracts.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, I suppose there are upsides and downsides to that, aren't there? But at the end of the day, if you've been offered it and you say no, I think that would be much harder to live with.
I think it's
You just, you know. Because obviously it would be pretty shoddy to tell everyone that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
When whoever's on screen, you're kind of going, yeah, of course I got offered it first. I mean, that's not really the done thing, is it? So you couldn't even enjoy that.
What are we talking, though? Doctor Who, James Bond, are probably the two roles.
That's it. That's all there is.
You can't turn down.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't turn that down.
Yeah.
Would you take James Bond if you were offered it over Doctor Who? Could you make the jump? Could you be the first person ever to make the jump from Doctor Who to James Bond? Because you could do it.
I'd love to play James Bond baddie. That'd be good.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. You know, like Sean Bean's done it. I think you could definitely be a James Bond baddie.
That would sort me out.
You've said this as a very normal guy, and you've just said, oh yeah, I wouldn't mind being a baddie. Like if I said, I'd love to dress up like as an alien and being Doctor Who. But that'll be probably in the paper now. Tenant wants role. Yeah,
well,
he demands role. Why was I not in Casino Royale? That's what it'll come out
yes,
as.
Yeah. Tenant lambasts Bond bosses.
What's the geekiest thing? Because, I mean, this in a good way, but you do know some ridiculous information about Doctor Who, past and present. Give us your best geeky Doctor fact.
Ooh.
Maybe even something about your person when you play it.
Ooh, let me think. I do think long and hard before we start working every new episode about what combination of buttons I'm going to do up on my jacket. I think it's important that these things are thought through.
No, it's not.
And it is! And you'll see if you study your DVD box set that it does change from episode to episode.
I love that.
And the blue suit hangs slightly differently to the brown suit. So the blue suit tends to have more buttons done up than the brown suit. Should I stop now?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's draw a bit over that.
Three assistants by the end of the series in different forms at different times. But I want to talk about Billy. And your
voice just dropped.
You've got many friends.
You just got a bit cosy when you said her name there.
She's, I have to just tell you, actually simply amazing. And you've taken a lot of credit, rightfully, for your role as the Doctor. But I don't think it necessarily would have been that amazing to have you as Doctor without that connection that you had with her, whether it was off and it was carried on or whether it was just on. For me, it's one of the greatest partnerships I've ever watched, and you could tell in every scene that there was that connection and that respect between you.
I properly love Billy. She's a great friend and a fantastic actress. You know, she's got that sort of magical thing that you can't quite bottle. I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, before I was part of the show, I think she was a huge, huge reason why it works.
People laughed when she got it. They went,
yeah.
Why's Billy Piper?
But from the first moment, you knew that she was the right choice. And it's also the way the character's written, to be fair. You know, it's written
absolutely
as a two-hander now, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas before, I think it was the Doctor, Owen, a girl who screams a bit. but there's something about Billy, and there's something about the way the character was written that really captured people, and I think all credit to her, yeah.
For me, one of the greatest scenes in television history is your goodbye on, it Dalek Bay?
Dalek Oof Strand and Bad Wolf Bay.
That's it. Let's play that scene. It's probably the most. It's probably the most famous scene, isn't it? Since you started.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't need pictures for this. Wonderful actress. This bit's just beautiful, and we'll just play it up to the bit where you say her name.
Okay.
You're on the list of the dead. Here you are, living a life day after day. One adventure I can never have.
Gonna see you again.
You can't.
What are you gonna do?
I've got a TARDIS. Same old life, last of the Time Lords.
Can't you remember?
It's quite right. And I suppose if it's my last chance to say it, Rose Tyler.
That's all I'm saying. I won't watch I had to watch it, and I was YouTubing today. I'll get that off. YouTube is easier, you know.
Yeah.
And even that, watching it, was just stunned to silence in the office.
Well, good.
What a woman. Well, do you ever listen? Do you go to gigs with her or anything? Because we got to play a track. I wonder, could we play a Billy-related track?
Well, we went to V Festival together, but I don't think we actually saw anything. I think we just sat in a tent somewhere and
got drunk.
Yeah. No, I tell you what, can we play this? Can we play one of my favourite tracks of all time?
Yeah.
It's The House Martins and Me and the Farmer.
Okay.
You weren't expecting that, right?
No.
I love a bit of House Martins.
I have to say, when you said The House Martins, I was thinking, oh, please just make it a single.
That is a single.
Was it?
Yeah, that was a single.
Where'd that get to in the charts?
I don't know, 14? Yeah.
14 or something yeah. like that. Well, I don't even know this one. What's it called?
Me and the Farmer. It's great.
Me and the Farmer by The House Martins. Mate, it's on you. This is what In the Company's about. And I love when...
Thank you. I thought you were getting a bit resistant. No, I thought you were going to say no.
Not at all. Not at all. Okay, so here's The House Martins. We're in the company of David Tennant. I don't know what it sounds like. Let's find out.
Sister, getting all I hand and blister me.
Of David Tennant, and I managed to get him on mic singing the song that we just played by The House Martins. I just want to talk about a few early days, and anything you don't want to, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But you like Doctor Who from like 2 or 3. Is that what made you want to get into acting, I believe, in the
first
place?
Certainly, amongst the things. Yeah, I mean, it was watching the telly, because, you know, at 3, you don't have a great deal of experience of classical theatre, do you? Mm-hmm. So it was watching the telly and watching... And certainly Doctor Who was one of the things that at that age I was watching. And I remember quizzing my parents about who these people on the TV were, and they explained about actors. And I got really quickly and very distinctly the difference between fact and fiction, the difference between an actor and the part they played.
Are you named after Neil Tennant of the Pet Shop Boys? You're a McDonald.
I kind of am. Yeah. I'm a McDonald, David McDonald, and when I joined Actors Equity, they have a rule that no two people are allowed to have the same name. So on their computer it popped up that there already was a David McDonald, so I had to choose something else. And I was 16 at the time, because I did one professional job before I went to drama school, so I had to get my Equity card, and you have to come up with 3 options. And I thought, how do you choose a name for yourself? So I picked up a copy of Smash Hits, and... they didn't accept David Brandon, named after Kirk Brandon from Spirit of Destiny.
I was going to say.
My second choice was David Tennant.
And what was your third?
Do you know my third? I've never told anyone this.
Was it Almond?
No. My third, I changed my first name to Chris.
Oh.
Chris McDonald. I'm really glad that didn't work
out. No, no.
And I don't know why I wanted to do that.
That's strange. I want to talk a bit about your acting here. Now, you may think that people have forgot about your early TV appearance as a transsexual in Rab C. Nesbitt. Was it Davina?
Davina the barmaid, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's available to watch at bbc.co.uk/radio1. Click on Colin Murray, go into the Black Hole TV section, and that'll be up as of this evening. So I've tracked that down, and come on, you very make us very sexy, lady.
Really sexier than Billy?
No. you're also a massive fan of Shakespeare. I mentioned that. I just want to get a couple of these things in. Comic roles, as you like it. What's the magic of Shakespeare? Because I didn't get it, I have to be honest. I did a lot of Irish literature.
It's difficult to describe, isn't it, as to why anything works. It's like describing why you like music, isn't it? It's quite hard to pinpoint. They're just great plays, and they're great words to speak, and also they're part of theatre history, aren't they? And there's something attractive about that, about sort of setting yourself in that line and seeing if you can cut it or not.
And you did it, of course, the Shakespeare episode with Our Witches.
And
Doctor Who. Does that stand out for you? Is that I was going to ask you, in fact, it'd be good to see now what your favourite scene at the moment that you've done, your favourite moment, and we'll play a little clip of it.
Oh, I don't know, I've got lots of favourites. The werewolf one's a favourite of mine. Gridlock last year, stuck in the car.
Fantastic.
That was a favourite of mine.
That's a fantastic episode.
Girl in the Fireplace, Madame de Pompadour, that's a great story.
I love that as well.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful, because it has that balance that the new Doctor Who has, is that human interest and that nice soft underbelly. Do all the swashbuckling and running around the planets.
Yeah.
And that was good. Should we play a little clip from that?
Yeah, go for it.
That'd be really good, okay.
So here you are, my lonely angel, stuck on the slow path with me.
Yep, the slow path. Here's to the slow path.
It's a pity. I think I would have enjoyed the slow path.
Well, I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, aren't you? Take my hand.
Another great Doctor Who moment. We are in the company of David Tennant. Now, we talked a bit about your private life. It is your own, and I don't want to pry, but in terms of, I'm sure a lot of our listeners have went through this as well, and it's fairly similar. You would have been shooting Doctor Who all of last year, basically, and you did. You lost your mother at that time. Did you throw yourself into work? A lot of people will have experienced this. Was it a thing that you could just, you know, it almost kept you sane, did it? Or obviously put a lot of stuff in perspective as well, and...
That's a hard question.
Yeah.
It's a mixture of things, really, because I didn't really have any choice. When I wasn't at work, the production was closed down, which is quite a big deal when you're talking about something that big.
That's true.
You know, they didn't force me to come back to work. And I did take some time off, clearly, as you would.
Yeah.
But my mum was always very keen that I did the job and did it well, and it made her very proud, so...
Yeah, and you want to get that done, and you want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's true what you say about it being something that, you know, all these people rely on you as well, and when something like that happens, and you use it as an inspiration for you. Let's take a break. Let's play a track.
Okay. That'd
be a good idea. Whatever you want, really.
Let me think. You did mention Guilty Pleasures.
Oh, we haven't done a Guilty Pleasure. Oh, yeah.
And I'm almost ashamed to admit it, but I do love a bit of Avril.
Oh, God.
This is my guilty pleasure. This is as low as it'll get.
Do you know why I sold this as? You know, not only is he an amazing actor, he loves music.
Come on.
That's how I sold it on air.
The Proclaimers and the House Martins are three great bands.
Okay, at least do Skater Boy. Don't pick a B-side. Right?
No, Skater Boy. Oh. Come on. Let's have Skater Boy.
Love it. In the company of David Tennant, and he's picking...
I can't believe I just chose Avril Lavigne on Radio 1, and Late Night Radio 1 as well.
I love it.
It's not like even, you know...
It happens a lot.
Scott Mills or something.
People do this, you know. They do this anyway. Like, Weird Santas do a session, they play Hathaway. You know, so it's okay. Here's Avril Lavigne. We'll talk to David Tennant for a final time, and this finishes.
Girl, can I make it any more
company of David Tennant, as guilty pleasure as Avril Lavigne.
I am ashamed. If it helps, I'm ashamed of myself.
You know, fair enough. Catchy.
Sometimes you need a bit of catchy old pop, don't you?
No, I love.
What's your...
Bit Phil Collins.
Oh, that's much worse than Avril Lavigne. Oh, I feel much better. I like it. That's much more embarrassing.
Yeah, but Avril Lavigne wouldn't play for 3 hours with a 15-minute break in between for people to buy charity T-shirts to save the rainforest. That's what makes Phil Collins a legend. let me talk gay. The Pink Paper voted you the sexiest man in the universe.
Yeah.
Now, considering the gay appeal of David Beckham and Brad Pitt, that's something else.
How they were second and third, respectively.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah?
How does that feel?
Not that I've got 14 copies of that at home. It's quite weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
When people you don't know vote for you in anything. I still find it weird that people I don't know watch me on the telly, to be honest.
I know.
It's quite a hard thing to quite get your head around. So,
does it hurt more that the ladies don't love you quite as much? You're only 20th on the ladies list. So, not really like there's 19 people ahead. Did you memorise them as well?
No,
the
19 I didn't.
Sexier
to be
men?
Fair, the next year when the Pink Paper poll came around, wasn't even listed, so I don't know what went on there. I went from number one with a bullet to nowhere.
Be careful of the phrases you choose. But I think it's because you didn't embrace it enough.
How do you embrace being voted sexiest anything, though? You know, what do you do? Should I then sort of unbutton my shirt to my navel and walk down Old Compton Street? I don't know. I mean, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah.
I'm delighted to have any kind of following.
Let's just get the rumours out of the way. You're leaving? Are you going to say anything about it?
I'm doing all of next year.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I don't think anyone knows yet. So
all beyond, in terms of yourself, then that means that'll take you through 4 series.
Yeah, although next year won't be a full series. Next year
couple
will
of
be
specials.
3 specials.
Okay.
So it'll be 3 months' work rather than 9 months' work, I guess.
Steven Gerrard had many flirtations with leaving my beloved Liverpool, and he finally realised
that
a
footballer?
It, yeah, yeah.
Right.
If he went elsewhere, he may win league medals, more league medals, but he wouldn't have the joy of showing them to his kids. Because they'd be Liverpool fans, they're going to grow up there, and he's a Liverpool fan.
Uh-huh.
So I think you could turn your hands to the obvious things, but with the exception of the aforementioned James Bond,
right.
Why? If you love it so, stay. Russell T. Davis said he wants you to be Doctor Who forever.
Yeah.
I think you will be. You know, I think you will be there a lot longer than you even think now. Because when you love something, you always weigh it up. I should leave.
I know.
Of course you do. You're going to think about it a lot more than something you're dispassionate about. But I can just see it. Even when you think you're going to go, I can see one more series,
Well, to be truthful, I've already stayed longer than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
You know, I've already stayed longer than my initial contract.
Yeah.
So anything is possible, absolutely.
Nice.
But you're right. The other thing is it's one of those parts that will never go away, you know. So and there's always, even when I do leave, there's always that episode where all the doctors reunite and things like that. I'm already looking forward to that.
It's only happened twice, hasn't it? So, you know.
I think it's happened 3 or 4 times. I know it's happened. I can probably give you the dates. But, I'm looking forward to that story coming round.
Okay, you finally go. Not that you ever will. And this is my last question for you. You finally go and the regeneration scene happens.
Yeah.
No more David Tennant. Who should you regenerate?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that. I don't know. Don't ask me, because I don't want anyone else to be any good, of course.
I'll write it down for you.
Of course. Oh, who are you saying?
So, you know, you regenerate.
Colan right. Murphy. I've never heard of him. I'm not sure that. I think he just needs a good actor who's up for it.
Yeah.
And I think any good actor who's up for it will make something brilliant of it, because it's the best part there is, and you can kind of do whatever you like with it. So
I tell you who, Sim was brilliant as the Master.
Yeah,
right?
I
think if he hadn't have been the Master, then he could have been a logical.
He would have been a great
follow-on.
Yeah,
and he would have been a great choice. Outside of that, I don't. I think you're gonna have to stay.
Okay, well, if you put it that way, then I will.
In fact, I have someone here from BBC Contract, and you're not allowed to leave until you sign up for 8 years. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure.
You're the embodiment of the honest conversation, which is what we try and do at this time.
I still
time
can't
night.
Quite believe I admitted to Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, but you know, it's a list of shame. What are we going to finish with?
Well, I don't know, because
don't try and get your credibility back. That's the best thing about you. 100% honesty.
I have no credibility.
Exactly.
That's the best thing about me.
Either do I. So don't worry.
I don't know. This is quite difficult. Because it's a bit like choosing your desert island discs, this, isn't it?
Yeah.
At least you get eight there. and actually, I probably wouldn't put Avril Lavigne on that, because, you know, it's a bit highbrow, really,
dare. You're talking your phone voice.
Yeah, I'd put some Elgar in instead.
You automatically just go into that mode on Radio 4.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know, this is much better than Desert Island Discs.
Thank you. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, that's what you were trying to get me to say, wasn't it? That's the sign you were holding up, getting me to read out. I'm tempted by the Kaiser Chiefs. I'd quite like to hear some Kaiser Chiefs. Yeah. But then we could go a bit more old school. We could go for some Elvis Costello.
You're big Elvis Costello
fan. I do
fan.
Love a bit of Elvis Costello. I saw him at Glastonbury. He was fantastic.
Given your list, so I think maybe Kaiser Chiefs could get you out a hell of a lot of trouble.
Do you think? Mind you, well, Elvis Costello's maybe more credible because it's old school.
Oh, yeah,
you
totally.
Sound more credible if you go old school.
Yeah,
right?
I think so, yeah.
But, it's so hard to choose just one. Or maybe a Franz Ferdinand track.
I know you're big. I love a bit of them. Yeah.
And then back in time, you know, Deacon Blue. I loved Rain.
Oh, no, you're talking.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because your credibility hasn't sunk enough. Well, you know, I wouldn't want to influence you.
Or Simple Minds. First concert I ever went to was Simple Minds.
So we've narrowed it down.
So we've narrowed it down to about 10 different things.
Woo!
I love something with a woo. Love something with a woo.
Hence the job doing Doctor Who. It's all making sense now.
So maybe we should have Ruby.
Let's do that.
Let's finish with the Kaiser Chiefs and Ruby.
With the Kaiser Chiefs. There you go. Headline: Future James Bond gets credibility back at last hurdle. Right, let's do the Kaiser Chiefs. We've been in company with David Tennant, and we heard so many good tracks.
He was a skater boy. You know, she said, "See you later, boy." Come on.
They talk.
Spelt with an eight.
Lennon, McCartney, Levine. They're all there. thank you so much for coming in.
It's been a great pleasure. I really enjoy myself.
And I'd love to make it a yearly date. So if you get
let's
you get
do it again.
To come in, we'll
let's do it again.
All right, mate. Thank you.
Cheers.